Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broadwasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and something's afoot. It's a mousetrap out there, but a spiderweb where we're put. Should we call Poirot, Columbo, Clouseau, Briscoe, Robichaux, Fletcher? Perhaps a hunky monk, or a party of Hardy, a deadpan Batman, the memoirs of Mars, Mason for Chasin, or just wait for Drew to come through? We can't gloss over Cross or slam Graham, and let's not get too carefree and spacey and just hire Cagney and Lacey. Before it all comes, crashing down and we go, let's just say that it's elementary, my dear listeners of the show. And with that lineup, what could go wrong? Joining us today are the usual expected guests on the Nile, including Kevin, he totally did it, Jaeger.
That makes me the butler, right?
Doesn't the butler usually die?
No, the butler always does it. It's like the butler did it.
I guess. Spoiler alert.
I didn't say who.
Kimberly, our game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Yes, hello.
Hello. And with
Stay
us today.
Stay safe, especially for this one.
Yes. And with us today are some of the show's stars of the play that goes wrong. I realize I didn't write the actual play name in the intro.
That went wrong.
Yeah, right, exactly. So let's welcome friends of the show.
Friends of the show.
Mark Evans and Amelia McLean.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah. Hi.
So you can follow at B-Way Goes Wrong for all your sweet, sweet wrong information. but because we are recording before a show, we are not going to play What Are You Drinking?
What are you drinking?
Water.
Nah. so before
puzzles.
Yeah. So before we start anything, I'd love for the two of you to explain exactly what this show is, because I feel like a lot of people see the ads or see it on Today Ticks and things of that nature and don't really have a good grasp of exactly what you guys are doing here at the theater.
It is officially the longest running play on Broadway is what it is.
Which is very exciting.
Hello.
I would say that it is a group of actors who believe that they are professionals who are putting on a Agatha Christie type play, but in attempting to do it their very best, it goes terribly wrong.
Everything that could go wrong goes wrong.
But they try so hard.
They try so hard because they actually had the story, you know, the what we're believing and really committing to is that they had a very, very successful dress rehearsal the day before. And so, you know, everything that is going wrong is such a surprise.
That piece of backstory just made the show even better.
No, I've seen again to see how everyone plays that.
No, yeah. I feel like if people, there's a whole other play that's happening backstage, which is us improvising together and talking about opening night before we go out there and being angry at each other for not rehearsing enough or for, you know, I mean, it is very, very silly, but sometimes it makes me sad that the audience doesn't get to see that the good show happening backstage.
It sounds like a YouTube segment.
Well, one of my favorite parts is in the playbill, there are fake advertisements for the theater company that you are. Mm. I'm just like, the four tenets of acting. What is it like? Listening and acting.
Yes. I say that we all have our strengths. Like, I believe that I am a very good gesturer.
I would agree.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's one of my strengths. It's on my resume under special skills. Excellent at gesturing.
That's incredible.
So, basically, this... So,
I'm not even seeing the show and I'm giggling to myself in the corner.
It's so good.
This, honestly, I don't think I've laughed this hard seeing a show on Broadway in my entire life both times I saw it.
Absolutely.
Like, going into it knowing, like, all the things that are going to go wrong and then seeing it again, the pure honesty of the reactions is
so funny. A lot of people, especially friends of mine who have seen either the original cast or come back a second time to see us in it, just say, I actually preferred it the second time. I had an amazing time the first time, but it's almost overwhelming because there's so much happening.
Yeah.
The second time you can watch it a bit more relaxed and just really kind
The second time I felt the anticipation of kind of knowing what was going to happen, but not remembering exactly when it happens is very overwhelming. Yeah. And it makes me laugh even more because I'm genuinely nervous. Oh, especially the second act, no spoilers here. But there's a moment in the second act where the first time it happened, the first time I saw the show, I like lost my complete and utter breath. Before I started laughing and like almost like choking on myself because like I just couldn't like know whether to like exhale or inhale. It was and the second time seeing that, the anticipation of that happening is the best.
I think that was the hardest thing for me personally with we rehearsed for 3 weeks and on opening night. It was like making sure that for safety's sake we're standing in the right place, anticipating what is about to potentially go wrong, whilst then acting authentically and responding authentically to it as if we're, you know, it's a surprise. Mm-hmm. Because the challenge for us is that, you know, we have to look as if we just, we're getting back on track. Okay, that went wrong, but, you know, everything else is going to go right now. Mm-hmm. So that the audience really are with us and they are just as shocked as we are when things are falling apart or people say the wrong things and, you know, I'm not going to say anything else because everything basically goes
wrong. And we try very hard on stage. One of the things that I go back to over and over again, which is the best note I think that anyone has given any of us for this play, is that everything that goes wrong, they truly believe in their heart of hearts that that is the last thing that is going to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That if they get it back on track after that thing, we're going to be golden.
Yeah.
And Broadway is going to embrace us our troupe like they should.
Yeah, well, even in the second act, I feel like the audience like starts to calm down a few times.
Mm.
Like, oh, that's probably it because the plot's wrapping up.
Yeah.
No.
The first time I saw it, I was like, okay, good. Okay, they've resolved the story. Nothing else can happen. And right until the very end, it's like, it's going wrong.
Yeah, right up to blackout.
So what happens when the things that are supposed to go wrong don't go wrong? Like, from a tech issue? Like, what's that like as both the first actor, like you as like real people, the British troupe, and then the, you know, the detective and the Florence character, like how, what is that like?
Well, we say that when things go wrong in the play that goes wrong, things go right.
Right.
And so we just do the play at Haversham Manor.
Yeah.
We just do the murder at Haversham Manor. And what's interesting about it is that you can feel that the audience is sort of like, wait, nothing. Wait, why isn't anything funny happening? You know, because we're just all committing to doing this very serious murder mystery for a little longer. And so, you know, there's always a moment of us as actors being like, oh, that thing's not going to fall and hit you anymore.
Keep going. So in like a nightmare tech show, it would be like the perfect version of your actual play.
Yes.
Have you done the actual show? Murder at Haversham Manor?
We read through it in rehearsals. We would, you know, reference back to. It's a bit terrible play.
It all makes sense. The plot is all there and whatever, but when you're committing to it as a straight play, it's a little bit.
It's only like 20 pages long. It's very bad.
Yeah, act two is like literally 15 minutes.
The perfect community theater.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah. You guys are really, the show is so funny and all of you are so funny in it. Now, who would you say is like a comedic inspiration for you?
For us personally or
yes,
for the writers?
Personally.
Oh my goodness. Oh, I mean.
And for your fake actor that is pretending to be your character.
Yeah, there's so many layers to this. People need to be drunk
to
understand.
Questions.
Well, the thing is that they don't think they're funny, right? Like Sandra,
that's
I think
true.
She would say like Elizabeth Taylor, you
right.
know? Or she just feels like she doesn't, she doesn't think of herself as a comedic actress at all.
No. And that's where the comedy in the show comes from. We're not actors being funny. We're not people being silly or anything. The comedy comes from us, like the audience experiencing the heartache that we have trying to get things back on track. Mm-hmm. And so for Chris, who I play, so basically I play Chris the director, and in The Murder at Haversham Manor, he plays Inspector Carter. So for Chris, I mean, current day actors, Ian McKellen, to Patrick Stewart, like, like icons.
Right.
Like, I'm going to be a Hollywood actor. I shouldn't be Gandalf, you know? but, you know, like, for me, like, any, like, very dry British sense of humor, Fawlty Towers, Python.
Fawlty
yeah.
Towers is the best.
Yes, yes.
The Waldorf Salad episode is truly a one.
Yeah.
It's almost like you guys are all the straight man to the set.
The Tony winning set.
The Tony winning set.
Oh, yes.
We try not to bring that up. Yeah. She has such a big head.
I'm so sorry. I hope she didn't hear me.
She has a lot of layers.
Well, before we move on, I just want to take a break, and I want to send it to a very drunk Brian, Kevin, and Kimberly. Thanks, Brian, Kevin, and Kimberly. We're just going to do a little bit of What Have You Seen This Week?
What have you seen this week?
What have you seen this week?
Kevin.
Kevin, didn't you see like a million things this week?
So I got to see the New York City Center gala production of Brigadoon that starred Patrick Wilson and Kelly O'Hara and Stephanie J. Block.
Never heard of them.
A lot of really awesome people. It was
choreographed by Christopher Wheeldon.
Yeah, and the choreography is beautiful.
Choreography's beautiful. He did American in Paris,
which would make sense because
ballet.
And Robert Fairchild was in it as well. And
oh, he was.
Yeah.
And oh my God, the video of him in the kilt, and every time he jumps, you can see his thighs.
Yeah. It was just a really, really beautiful production. I mean, you can't get anything better than Kelly O'Hara and Patrick Wilson singing duets together. Mm-hmm. Big shout out to Madison Stratton, who played Jane, his fiance back home. She is such an incredible talent, and you guys are going to be hearing her name all over the Broadway marquees.
What were you going to say?
Can you
the
hear
Broadway
marquees?
Highway?
I was about to say the Broadway skyline, but I don't really know what that is except for the New York
also,
skyline.
You can't hear marquees, Kevin.
Well, they're going to build marquees that talk just to say this girl's name because
like
she's
Minority Report?
Yeah, it's literally going to be like as you walk by to like scan your eyes and be like, Madison Stratton is fantastic. She might not even be in that show, but they'll just say it to you.
Check him out, Kevin.
Check out Madison Stratton.
Well, by the
time you hear this.
You can't see it.
So by the time you hear this, Brigadoon will have vanished into
mist.
Come and
gone? Yes.
But I got to see it for the day that it was here, and it was absolutely beautiful.
Cool.
So I got to see a lot of really cool stuff, but Kimberly, there's some stuff you're really excited about watching. What is it?
Nerd.
Brian knows me really well and sent me today a list of 37?
I think it was 57.
No, I looked through them all.
It was 57.
57 made-for-television Christmas specials that are hitting the airwaves this Christmas.
You can hear them on the marquees.
You can hear them. You know those marquees for television specials? But what I noticed through scrolling through 57 titles of made-for-television Christmas movies, tack the word Christmas onto it, and you've got a title. But I thought we could do
Broadway shows.
Yeah, with Broadway shows.
Great. A Christmas Christmas.
Oh, wait, what was that?
A Christmas Story?
Oh.
Christmas Mia.
The Lion Christmas.
Once on this Christmas.
Best Little Christmas in Texas.
Best Little Whorehouse in Christmas.
Christmas From Away.
Christmas is alive and well and living in Paris.
Five guys named Christmas. You're a good man, Christmas Brown.
Cat on a hot tinsel Christmas.
That's a good one.
Really good.
If you have sillier ones, just tweet them at us.
Yeah.
With hashtag Broadwasted Carol. This holiday season, the Broadwasted crew decided we wanted to do two things.
Number one, give something special to our fans of the show.
And number two, to give back to an organization near and dear to the theater community's hearts, Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS.
So guys, we have an announcement.
This holiday season, Broadwasted is proud and overjoyed to the world in to bring you our shaken and stirred twist on Charles Dickens' classic, A Christmas Carol.
A new radio play written by our own Kevin Jaeger called A Broadwasted Carol.
Channing!
Brian, we talked about this. We're just calling it A Broadwasted Carol.
Channing! I'm sorry, I really can't help it. It's some sort of a reflex.
Jeez. This three-part radio play features some of Broadway's biggest stars.
Part one of A Broadwasted Carol. Brian!
Sorry.
Part one of A Broadwasted Carol.
Channing.
Airs Tuesday, December 5th, so please listen in, enjoy, and help us support Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS.
Let's throw it back to our favorite podcast host, Brian, Kevin, and Kimberly.
That's us.
Back to you.
It's like Harry Potter with the time turners and they throw the stuff and it's been them the whole time and I'm Hermione and
Azkaban spoiler alert.
Yeah, which one of us would be Ron? Is says Kevin, knowing
that I'm just imagining you puking up slugs.
And we're back. Thanks so much, Brian, Kevin, and Kimberly. But should we play a game, Kimberly?
Yes.
Great.
Oh, yes.
Would you like to play a game?
Are we going
to
do this puzzle?
We're
going to do a very serene sunset boat puzzle.
It looks like a Moana puzzle.
We're in the wig room on the puzzle table.
Yes.
So it's perfect.
It is amazing. So when I thought to some terrible murder mysteries of my past, and they have some delightful titles.
Yes.
So we're going to play a game called Murder Mystery. Or something I just made up.
Yay!
So one at a time, I'm just going to tell you the title of a murder mystery and just tell me if it's real or if I made it up.
Okay. So are we playing as a team or against each other?
You're playing against each other.
Okay,
so
great.
Keep track of your own score.
Great.
For ones that are real, I do have a brief synopsis.
Great. Even better.
Looking forward to it.
I think you probably picked the two most competitive people in
yes.
the world. Yes!
They both just
Let's
leaned
do it.
In. They're
Let's
real.
Start with Amelia.
Come on.
Okay. Death of a hot sauce salesman. That's made up. That is true. Six male, six female. Interior dining room set. It's about 60 minutes long. Spice up your dinner theater with this delectable audience participation murder mystery, complete with clue packets for the audience.
Okay.
I feel like this
that
already
was
isn't fair. I know. I feel like this already isn't fair.
What a really good one. That's like Gene Wilder rolling at the beginning of Willy Wonka.
All right, Kevin.
What a comparison. Yes.
Murder actually.
Yes.
That is a true statement.
Yes.
It is.
Love actually.
Let's see. Wuthering Heights meets Downton Abbey meets Love Actually with lots of surprises in store. Is it Love Actually or is it Actually Murder?
I'm still connecting those three stories.
I know.
Somehow.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
And Love Actually.
And Love Actually.
All right, Brian.
A Richard Curtis joint.
Killing Time. You don't have to go to heaven, but you can't stay here.
I'm going to say false.
Yeah, I made that up.
Yes.
You better write that.
Very proud of that.
Yeah. That's my roulette experience coming into play. 50-50.
All right. Mark. Dinner at 8, dead by 9.
Oh, I want to be in it. I'm going to say true.
That is true. You can be in this. It is a deliciously clever comedy mystery. This deliciously clever comedy mystery is written specifically for a dinner theater setting, though it can also be presented traditionally. That's as good of an insight.
I don't want to be in it anymore.
All right, Amelia.
They both lean back there like, nope.
No.
Murder at the Panda Express.
Please let
this be real. Did the person who died choke on, like, orange chicken?
I'm gonna say it's not true.
I made that up. Yeah.
I'm so disappointed.
I would go
I was really
see
proud
that.
Of that pun for you, though.
Thank you.
I would see that immersive production at a Panda.
No, yes. I know.
Is that interactive? Do I pay for my meal, too?
Yeah, it's $15 all inclusive. Ticket and meal.
All right, Kevin.
This episode's sponsored by Panda Express.
Okay. Prelude to a death.
That sounds real.
I made it up.
Oh!
that was
real.
Yeah.
Brian.
Yeah.
Death of a dead guy.
That's true.
That is true.
Yes.
Much more a comedy than a mystery. Your audience will die laughing with a variety of silly expressions from the corpse as he reacts to the investigation about his death.
They just told us the entire show.
Why would you go see it? You can just imagine.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I just say,
like, oh, I know the gag now.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Spoiler alert.
That was amazing.
Okay, what's everyone's points? Should this be the last one? Or do you want to do one more round?
I have
five.
I have one.
I'm two for two.
Team round it up.
If Mark goes, then we could have a tie for a win or...
All right. To tie.
Mm-hmm. Wait, is this me now?
Yes.
Okay.
Inspector Detector and the Precious Treasure.
Oh my God. It's
That's true.
That is true. Filled with a parade of fun-filled characters and hearty action, audience and actors will love helping Inspector Detector put all the pieces together to find a precious treasure.
I love, too, that it says it's 45 minutes long, but it has 4 men and 5 women in it. They each have 3 lines.
So, well, maybe 3 of them are dead.
Is this a murder off now?
A murder off.
Yes, so I'm going to read one title.
Okay.
And you're each going to wager a guess if it's true or false. Okay. And then I'll let you know who wins.
Okay.
Ready? Illinois Jane and the Pyramid of Peril.
True. False.
Oh.
That is true.
Yes! Oh.
When a map to a long-lost pyramid is discovered, only the greatest adventure hero of all time can unlock its mysteries. Illinois Jane, cartographer extraordinaire. This is where I got my education in middle school theater.
Illinois Jane.
I know. Oh my God. Murder at the Panda Express.
Well, I'd have to write that one first. Maybe I will.
What? Yeah, we got this.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
What are some of your favorite plays that kind of inspire you as actors? Or that, like, the first play that you saw that was like, oh, I want to do this. Or musical.
Oh, wow. The first musical I saw, because I joined a musical theater, I saw Grease when I was really little, but I don't remember that. Fame, the musical, I saw it 13 times.
The movie?
No, the or musical, the stage musical. Yeah. I saw it when I was 15, I think, and just wanted to be in it. Wow. I wanted to play Nick Piazza so I could sing I Want to Make Magic, but I wanted to be in the ensemble understudying Nick so I could do the dancing as well.
That's a very specific
dream. It's a very attainable goal as well.
No, if someone said, do you want to do Fame? I'd be like, absolutely not.
Just the dancing.
Yeah. Yeah.
One man Fame.
Yeah. Yeah. Fame or Murder at the Panda Express.
Duh.
I feel like our options after doing this play are getting very
small. Podcast.
Yeah. You may have to rework your resume after this one.
Shows up in a panda.
So. Yeah.
The set is going places, though.
Like, yeah, I know.
The set has so many offers.
Really to
it's going on
it.
Tour.
I know. Yes. She tells us constantly she's going on tour. We know. 5 weeks in LA. Enjoy.
She always has a breakdown, though.
I know.
Nightly.
Oh.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I didn't answer your question, but I mean, to tell you the truth, like, I didn't grow up going to a ton of plays. I grew up in Texas, so, like, I wanted to be an actor after watching lots of soap operas, which is, you know, I think shows in my work in this show. And, but, you know, when I started getting old enough to take myself to plays, the first play I remember seeing as an adult and being like, oh my gosh, plays are where it's at, was The Grapes of Wrath.
Oh, wow.
And I remember seeing The Grapes of Wrath and just thinking, this is extraordinary. This
cool.
Everyone should sit in the theater and see plays like this. Mm-hmm. So that was the first play that I saw that I really loved. I don't know if I would want to be in The Grapes of Wrath for a long run.
That would be like definitely a switch from what you're doing now.
Yeah.
Well, that's next more like stop. The life that goes wrong.
Yes.
A set piece would fall down and you'd just be like, oh, thank God.
Yes, exactly.
Something
exactly.
funny.
I need to see a good Dust Bowl play. Do you have any suggestions? What do you hope that people walk out of the theater feeling from this show?
You know, I've heard so many people in press interviews and that sort of stuff say that they love the theatre because it's an escape from real life. And I think sometimes it can be that, but majority of the time, most plays and musicals and pieces have, they affect you in one way. You can either be happy, sad, you are really confused, they haven't really resolved the ending, like you've really been affected. I think this is probably the most wholesome, really fun escapism from real life that you can have for 2 hours. You don't need to specifically follow anyone's story or like, there's no effort involved in watching it. You just good for 8-year-olds through like your granny, your granny's mother. Like everyone is just having a really good laugh for 2 hours and you don't really get that at all anymore.
Yeah, and I love about it that, you know, there seems to be so much that everyone can disagree on at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I really love that for the most part,
yeah,
everyone agrees. That's funny.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah,
everyone
yeah
walks out and says, yeah, that's funny.
And it's not often that, like, people of my generation laugh the same jokes as people of an older generation.
Right.
But I definitely,
as a 5-year-old, too.
Last time we saw it, we were sitting next to, like, a very pleasant group of 60-year-olds who thought everything was just as funny as I did as a 30-year-old
yeah
man.
Yeah.
So.
People falling down is always funny.
Yes, it is.
Always.
Get on the head.
People suffering is always funny.
Yeah.
Schadenfreude is a
exactly
real thing.
Yeah.
Real
thing. And like,
you.
Yes. if you want to watch something funny with people falling down, obviously see this, but also watch Slippery Stairs.
Oh my God, you sent that to us today.
It is a video of this Japanese game show where they literally are head to toe in like helmet and knee pads.
And they just try to climb up
slippery stairs. And they keep falling down, and it's the funniest thing
you
I've
can't
ever seen.
Stop watching.
You really can't. I like turned away and like looked back and I was like, oh, it's probably a new round. And I was like, no, those are the same people.
How long
do
they get?
The video
timed?
Is like 8-9 minutes.
It's like 9 minutes these people like edited together. So it's probably like a 25-minute stair excursion.
I just want to be in the room
that's
when the guy
next
is pitching that. He's like, okay, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're going to put him in a suit.
Oh,
we're going to have slippery stairs. And then there were the people that were like, yes.
But there
idea
are judges.
It's
like, it looks
so
like the
funny
audience is judging them.
Yes.
Like, they have like signs.
It's incredible.
These producers are also producing the Panda Express mystery.
Yes. Great.
Oh.
No question there, judges.
Yeah, slippery stairs is the opening act for Panda Express.
Yes. Yeah.
And then one last question for you. I'm sure your audience is very unique. Do you have some really good audience stories in terms of like reactions or things of that nature?
People really enjoy, because Chris, who I play, is very uptight. I've not been typecast in this role at all. And so the audience really enjoy shouting stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
To him specifically, I think, to really try and like rub him up the wrong way. And sometimes it's really great because it kind of can fuel stuff that I'm doing. But one time I was doing a speech at the top of Act Two and I come out and address the audience and someone says, this is literally the worst show I've ever seen in my life.
No!
I think I responded, thanks, Dad. That's when Chris is the only time that he's vulnerable. He's just saying he's so grateful to see that so many people have showed up for the second act. He's very surprised. This is the worst thing I've ever seen. Like, not hopefully the play that goes wrong, but the play that we as characters are putting on. I was like, screw you.
Yeah. My favorite, though, is that the people that sit in, like, the third row and just make it their job to not laugh. And I always, like, see them at the beginning of the play, and I'm like, we will break you.
Yeah.
And by the end, I'll look out, and they'll be like, like,
yeah,
trying so hard not to enjoy it, but
yeah,
still laughing.
Yeah, gotcha.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, that actually brings us to the end of our episode.
That was a quick one. Where's the alcohol?
I know.
You just listen to the middle part and you'll...
Yeah. Great.
I can't wait.
Have a drink after the show for us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, stage is clear for warm-up.
You guys, we're going to do warm-up on stage. Come on. The stage is clear. We're good to go.
Well, thank you so much. We end every episode with a quote.
Okay.
And today's quote is... Without fire, there can be no flame. Without players, there can be no game. Without Shakespeare, there'd be no to be or not to be. Without him, there can be no me.
Where's
Sherlock Holmes, the musical.
Oh, God.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh,
my
yeah
mom in high school did Baker Street, the musical.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
But that's by the, what's his name that did Charlie, the Willy Wonka movie? But thank you so much for joining us. You can follow them at B-Way Goes Wrong. You can get tickets anywhere. Literally, just show up anywhere and someone will give you tickets.
A hot dog cart. We're on top of a hot dog cart.
Yeah. Right in front of my office, you have one. And I see it every day. And
you're
welcome. Like, I should go see that again. I'm like, oh, I'm going to stay away from that cart. No. TodayTix, Broadway.com, PlayThatGoesWrong.com. They're going on tour. So if you can't come to New York, you can absolutely see it in your neck of the woods.
Ooh, the tech for that tour must be rough.
I know. If you're in London, you can see it there. If you're in, there, it's everywhere. Thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Yeah, of course.
So fun.
This is like maybe the only show where you shouldn't say that. Yeah. Wait, we should do cheers.
But as we end, let's high five. As we end every episode.
Zoo-doo-wop-bop.
We're just hitting hands.
Awkward high five.
Cheers that went wrong.
The cheers that went wrong.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another Off-Broadwasted, where we are checking out all the stuff happening off-Broadway. So we are here at the play Hot Mess with Max Crum, Lisa DeVito, and Paul Molnar. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for joining us.
Yeah,
thank you.
So the first thing we're going to do is, what are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
I save that for a sound effect. This is a very rare imported craft beer. Can't really get it in New York anywhere.
You really can't.
No, it's a Bud Light.
I have a Montauk Hot Blonde Ale, the last one from the fridge.
Why don't you guys give us just like a little overview, what is Hot Mess?
Hot Mess is a romantic comedy about these kind of quirky, offbeat people who fall in love, and but Max, the lead, played by Max Crum, has to divulge a secret, which is that he's bisexual.
Comedy ensues.
Comedy ensues. And so he bounces back and forth between scenes with Eleanor, the character I play, the love of his life, and his best friend,
Lewis.
Davis.
Lewis Davis.
Daniels.
Lewis Davis.
I think his name is Lewis Davis. I don't know.
I'm not in any of those scenes, so that's...
He's excited already.
I love Off-Broadwasted.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
My husband is a stand-up comedian.
Amazing.
So as soon as the comedy stuff started, you probably noticed that I was laughing the hardest.
Yeah.
As every inside comedy bit, I was like, true. There are open mics and laundromats. That's right. Once had to go to an open mic at a Potbelly sandwich shop in Union Square.
Oh, my God.
Thursdays at 8.
That's true love right there.
Amazing.
That's true love to actually sit through
one
of those.
True love.
The writers on the show are actual... You know, stand-ups. They're comedians.
Are you guys big fans of stand-up? Like, are there people that you guys watch
absolutely
all the time?
Absolutely.
Like, Netflix specials and stuff like that.
I love Paula Poundstone. I love Rita Rudner. Mm-hmm. I think, like, their delivery is... I don't know. I'm really into, like, female comedians. Like, Ellen, Sarah Silverman. I love Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah. Max and I bonded over Tiffany Haddish.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's
her
from...
SNL was
oh, my God.
So good.
She was
so
good. She's so
love
funny
and life.
In Girls Trip. Yeah. Oh, my God.
You know?
She's
really
hilarious.
Like that.
One of the things I loved about this show is that it gets uncomfortable, like the way that natural relationships get uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And not just like quirky uncomfortable, but like actually uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any awesome, like uncomfortable stories that you'd be able to share?
So, okay. I was like really into like, you know, going to the local thrift store and getting like corduroys and like... You know, used shirts.
This is already a great story.
Yeah.
I don't know. And
it starts
I was like,
off with blue flared corduroy
so
pants.
I found the best, and I'm very short, for those of you who don't know. And
she is. I'm sitting right next to her. She's very short.
I'm very short. So when I find a pair of pants that like I don't have to hem, it's huge deal. And so I found like the coolest pants. They were like these light blue cords, and I wore them almost every day. Like, and you know, when you wear pants like that, they kind of wear.
But
you know?
This is not yet. You're not here. Also, with those pants is a bandana on her head and a long beaded necklace that she made herself at school.
Wow. Yes.
So just rocking like the pants, the bandana. Because we all wore that in the like early, like, listen. Yeah.
And I just like, I had a big crush on this senior, and like they would always watch, you know, like the sophomores like do, you know, PE, whatever. Right. And I went
they would
to, like,
watch you?
Yeah, you? Yeah. They would like sit and watch, and I was like,
you know, America. Like,
that's creepy.
That's creepy.
I know. But
wait,
I
you
was
were
like,
doing PE in your cord?
That's
yes,
weird.
That's the other thing. Is that
you were like playing capture the flag in your cords.
Yeah, right? Because
you
I went
those
to
soccer
I,
shorts like every other girl.
I didn't like when I was. I don't know. I didn't have to change, and I was like,
no.
I don't want to change. I'm bad at this anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
These
and
are perfect.
Anyway, I like the ball came to me and I bent down to get it.
Oh, no.
And I split the whole
no!
back of my corduroy.
No!
Underneath, I was wearing my tie-dyed undies that I had tie-dyed myself.
Yes!
Oh my God. You tie-dyed your underwear?
Yes, I'm very crafty sometimes.
Oh my God.
So, go through tie-dye phases.
Yeah.
I had tie-dyed socks.
Yeah, I did socks,
I did
underwear. Because you buy like a pack
and then
you're
like,
of the
well,
jockeys.
Anything white. Grab whatever's white.
Yes.
Like, you get a white sweatshirt.
Like, go through the enough tie-dye stuff.
Because like, we have
done.
This.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
So
there's.
Yes.
Oh my
just,
God.
Just so we're like, just so we recap, Lucy from head to toe is wearing on her head a bandana. She's wearing a long beaded necklace that she made herself. We're unclear what the shirt is, but I'm guessing it's like a white wife beater-esque sort of thing.
I think it was like, you know, one of those
spaghetti
like old sports t-shirts. You
okay,
know?
good.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
So then
yeah.
Blue.
Like for a gym, but not for your high school.
No,
yes,
no.
Yes.
Like not for
yeah.
my high school.
And then
like from 10 years
blue
ago.
Blue corduroy flare
blue.
Pants, light blue, underneath are tie-dyed panties.
That she made herself.
She made herself. Like the necklace.
Did anyone ask you out after that?
No.
That's so weird.
That's
yeah, and I had to wear my friend's sweatshirt around my waist for the rest of the day, obviously.
But that was also
so
like
you're
a
the yeah,
trend.
You're the
like,
reason that probably
no.
you started that.
I don't think so. I think no, I don't think so.
What is like something you want people to walk away talking about?
My acting skills. I think that if you believe saying like that Max Crumb's excellent, it'll be good for me.
That's a fair answer.
You know?
Yeah.
No.
Me too, guys.
Yeah,
me
right.
Too.
You want people to think
yeah.
Max is good.
Want them
yeah,
to
I
like
want Max.
Us.
I want everyone to like Max.
We all want Max to succeed.
To do well, right?
That's,
and that's
what we're all here for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if anything, I don't know. I hope they just leave thinking like, oh wow, interesting. That's a conversation I've never really heard before
mm-hmm.
about
yeah.
like male bisexuality, sort of in the normal zeitgeist of conversation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
yeah.
in comedy, which is a very straight world.
Right.
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 If that if
yeah.
no one else knows that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, no, I think that it like they see, you know, an interesting like relationship, and I think a lot of people can relate to like the like messiness of this couple.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
You know, finding the right match for yourself, no matter what that entails.
Yeah.
You know?
So in the spirit of it being a romantic comedy, we're just going to go through the group and everybody say what their favorite romantic comedy is.
Okay.
Ooh.
Oh, geez. Don't start with me.
You start, Paul.
I can't start.
Oh, okay.
I can't start.
Don't start.
Mine would have to be Speed.
Okay, I mean, it has like this, like
yeah.
the excitement, but
yeah.
there's
starring
a lot of
Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
Any Sandra Bullock movie is
a
romantic.
Yeah,
yeah.
Really
agree.
I agree.
100%. So
that's a good
Speed.
One, though.
That is really
it.
Good.
All right, I'm ready now. I know, but mine is Speed 2.
Yeah, yeah.
With the boat?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
called Speed 2 Cruise Control.
Yeah.
That's so
funny. Can't argue it.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go with When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
classic.
Boring.
Oh, shut up.
Yours doesn't have a bus careening out of
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
What about you?
Do you have one?
Yeah, you guys.
Yeah, what's yours?
Mine is probably While You Were Sleeping.
Oh, I love that one.
Another
Sandra
Bullock.
That's my second favorite.
My favorite romantic comedy is very embarrassing.
Oh, what
is it?
It is Chasing Liberty, the Mandy Moore vehicle about being the president's daughter.
Wait.
Oh.
Because
because I had a very broken heart in college, and I watched it like 3 times in a row with my roommate, and I was felt better.
Wasn't there a President's Daughter one that was with Kate
My Holmes? Date with a President's
Amanda
Daughter.
Bynes,
but Amanda it was Bynes.
Oh,
like,
Amanda she, Bynes.
Girl
yeah.
No, no, no,
she did
no.
It first.
Amanda Bynes
her
was,
dad was the king, prince or whatever.
He was like he was in the House of Lords, I
yeah.
believe. So.
So you guys, you can check out Hot Mess the Play. It is. I think the website is hotmesstheplay.com.
Mm-hmm.
Also on social media, it's hotmesstheplay. You guys want to just give a quick shout out of what your social media is if people wanted to find you?
Sure.
Sure. I am Paul Clifford Molnar. I also own a bar in Brooklyn called
Ooh.
South.
Oh, wow.
Where?
It's on Fit in Brooklyn. it's on Fifth Avenue between 17th and 18th. It's a little neighborhood bar that I own with my wife, Dee.
My Twitter is Lucy DeVito, and my Instagram is Lucy Watusi. LucyWatoosy.
Mine is just my name, at Max Crumb, MaxCrumm.
Awesome.
Thanks,
so you guys,
guys
can check them out. Definitely see the show, Hot Mess.
It's only an hour long.
Yep.
It's a great show to get a drink before.
Yep.
Watch the show.
Your commute is longer than the show.
And then go
exactly.
get
it
dinner.
It was a hilarious play, great performances, really good time, and only an hour in New York City. Where can you find that?
Yeah.
So definitely check it out, and stay tuned for more Off-Broadwasted. And until then, bye.
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 They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.